effect and always stays in. Yeah, just like a shot from a cannon, I am the man in charge and I'm planning a jam strong enough that it can lift your soul. I'm the originator and my rhymes are made of gold. Once you hear the capital A, rap it'll stay with you for a while. It won't go away unless you force it.
You ain't want them bars.
Oh yeah, I just want my mama to rap.
We're gonna get to it. This is shooting the shit, shooting the shit, shooting the motherfucking shit. We are in Mama Gail's house. We don't want to talk too loud and curse or say nothing crazy, but she knows she with us. Aunt's definitely told us enough stories. And this is our Mother's Day edition episode.
That's a fact. Welcome to the show, mother. Please don't embarrass me too much.
Nah, don't get shot now. Nah. We need to hear these stories.
Yeah. I mean, we oftentimes you tell us stories, you know. I'm extended part of the family, I like to say. I've been over here enough times. I feel like I know where stuff is at in the house, so you know.
Pretty much.
You don't always know those things when you go to people's houses or whatnot. So I first off, I want to thank Aunt for even just inviting me over to even be around his family, because you don't invite everybody over to your family house.
That's true. That's
very true. You know,
Eric's been over here before too.
Absolutely. Very hospitable. Mom's always been nice to me. So I want to hear some of these stories though, Mom. I heard some things. Can't put you out there.
No, but I'm trying to get her to tell us one thing. And she already starting off with, nah, she gonna plead the fifth on this topic.
Well, I think she's upset because she had the verse ready to go and you shut down the verse. Yeah,
all right, go ahead, do the verse. If you want to do the verse, go ahead.
Go ahead, do the verse.
Do the verse, go ahead, now do it.
Hey, we got some, we here with the champagne with moms, you know.
What?
Some champagne.
Oh, I thought he said some weed.
Oh, nah, we don't got no jazz cigarettes.
That's right, there's no smoking in here.
You know, I seen the sign on the door. You better pay. Listen, you go to people's house, you better pay attention to them rules.
That's right.
All
right?
We in here sipping. You better just sip away. That's what I'm telling you. We from the old school. But go ahead. You was saying.
You ready? You ready to drop your verse?
I gotta remember. That was a long time ago.
We just dropped the verse. What you talking about?
All right, now hold on. When you was doing this verse, when this verse like first came to you, was this when you was with the Zulu Nation? Now, can you at least confirm?
You was outside.
You was part of the Zulu Nation. Can you confirm that?
You was outside.
Yes.
You was a part of the Zulu Nation.
Yes, we were a branch off. Okay. McDynasty crew.
So can you talk about that? Because that's an era in time that a lot of people, I guess, younger people don't really understand. You know, a lot of people have crews and stuff like that, but you know, those groups where it was a lot of forward thinking black people and you know, Latino or whatever. Because we was uptown. Everybody was together and they was, you know, what was it about? Like, what type of stuff were you guys doing?
It was non-violence, all about the music. Mm-hmm. And we would go to different parks and they would have battles, different DJs, different.
What's it like
battles?
Going to a battle though? What year are we talking about?
In the 80s.
So 1982, what you was doing? You was in the park?
Yep.
So how y'all heard about the battle?
Well, actually, it depends on what time in 1982, because you might have been pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I was pregnant in 1980 and 1983, thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, but it takes 9 months, so you were pregnant from in 82, and then you had me in 83. So technically, you was pregnant in 82 still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in 1980, I was going to say 79 then. To 80, I was pregnant with your brother.
Mm. Yeah.
And we went all over the Bronx with his little Paragon stroller.
Mm.
Burnt the wheels down, going to the summer jams, you know, battles.
But at that time, you had to take your kids with you wherever you went.
I still got to take them everywhere I go.
Hold on, but no, we got to get moms to set the stage, though, right? Like, so you said, this is the era, this is before social media. So when y'all find out about the battles, this is like strictly word of mouth on the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after you get your whole denim outfit together, was you switching the laces?
You tied
down. Switching the laces?
No,
was
we
you
wore
switching
sweatshirts.
The laces in your kicks?
We wore sweatshirts with the initials of our crew on it.
And tell me your crew name one more time.
Little Bongo Red.
No, no, that was your individual name, Lil Bongo Red.
Oh, McDynasty Crew.
McDynasty Crew. Is there anybody in that crew that like that wound up being famous or anything?
No.
You still speak to any of them? The old, you still speak to the old gang?
The old gang. No. No. The old gang.
I left the Bronx and moved to Brooklyn.
Mm.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You did. You did at that age. After. So, was you break dancing in the battles too?
No, I didn't break dance. I danced, but I didn't break dance.
But you had people in your crew that was used to break dance.
The guys.
Okay. And now talk to us about the fights. Cause then you tell me you used to fight men.
I used to fight
back
men
back in the day. So what part?
See, like that, what? What you mean?
When did you start fighting?
That was when I was in elementary school. That started.
You had to prove yourself.
Yeah, cause I was the only little girl that could go outside, and besides the boys, you know, it was segregation. The girls had to stay in the house, and my mother let me go outside. So I hung out with the boys, and of course they wanted to get fresh. And try to touch me in inappropriate
little
places.
Creepy little boys.
And I had to bust them upside their head.
That's before the Me Too movement, so you had to handle things a little differently.
My mom got a few stories, too. They'll tell you when they had to bust some boys up.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all of our moms will probably beat up some dudes. Like,
oh, that's a fact. We had that conversation.
Like, all right. I think my mother told me some story. I think some dude tried to lift her skirt and she like two-pieced him and ran or something. I was like, why you ran? Like, she
didn't want to
get in trouble. Yeah.
Get scared, you know, like there was this one kid that liked me and he was younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another dude that liked me and he kept bothering me, you know. And it was, I remember it's like it was yesterday. It was an Easter Sunday and we were going out and I had on this pink dress with lace. And my mother said, okay, you could go outside, but you better not get dirty.
Why did they send us outside without good clothes on?
Listen, it's all a test.
Come on.
It's all a test.
Because you wanted me to come back inside. That's what it was.
Didn't want me to go out at all.
Yeah.
But he was pushing me in the thorn bushes. And that gets stuck to that lace. And
you had to fight him.
The wrong movement, it ripped the whole dress up. So the little boy that liked me threw a stick next to me. That was the wrong thing to do. I bent down and picked up that stick. Bah!
You beat him like Joe Jackson? Like you told him to get that switch?
One time. His head said, woo, speed knock. Everybody came out on their terrace and was like, because they thought it was a car.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live on Morrison Avenue right there by Soundview and Morrison train station, the 6th train.
Wow. And small world.
Yeah, that ramp that comes off. A lot of cars used to run into the tree that was back there. A lot of accidents.
Okay.
And so when I hit him on the head, people came out because they thought it was a car that crashed.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, man. Listen.
Get yourself Rock Mine like I seen Rock Mine. Yeah.
So that was the first one that you had.
That was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
But it wasn't the last.
Not at all.
So they kept trying to test you after that?
Of course. You know, they want to touch you in inappropriate places. You got to defend yourself.
If he was going to be outside.
But that's a weird thing that even at that age, like boys just, I mean, because we know about sex. A lot of times, I feel like a lot of times parents don't talk about it with their kids. I don't think my parents talked about it with us. That was very inappropriate for like kids to be doing that. Like, how'd you feel about that?
I didn't want nobody touching me, so I had to handle my business.
Okay.
Now, at what age did that stop? You had to stop fighting the boys.
Wow. I was a grown woman.
Oh, when you stopped fighting?
Man, y'all gotta do better, man. If y'all out here being fuck boys, y'all gotta do better, man. You gotta be nice to the ladies, man.
Nah, but there was another time. The last time I could really remember, I didn't fight, but
you had to defend yourself.
And I was 7 months pregnant.
Mm.
You know, the guy was a drug dealer and somebody I knew, drugs, and bought me a gun and asked me to pawn it for him. So I took care of that.
Okay.
And
in these streets out here, happy Mother's Day. Yeah.
And the guy wanted his gun back. But it don't work like that. You don't just get your stuff
you
back.
I had a similar story. I did that too. Nah, we still had the gun, but we didn't give it back. No. We ain't have it. But we didn't know if the gun was dirty though, so we just was
I didn't care if it was dirty.
Okay.
He wanted money for it.
What are we doing when we get fake, when we get gun? I don't even know why we having this kind. We got to clean them guns off for one. Make sure there's no hollow tips in the chamber, because them hollow tips will catch you too.
This was back in the day. Nobody was thinking like that. But he came for it, and he wanted to fight. And I stepped to him and was like, well, my hands is in that pot, so what you want to do?
Oh.
And he looked at me like, pregnant, miss. I can't hit you. I can sure hit you though.
Plus, you get a star in your eye if you hit a pregnant woman.
You a different type of guy. You do something like that. You don't respect nobody.
A lot of men don't respect nobody. Look at what Biggie said in his movie, and he probably said it in real life. That's probably where they got it from when he was selling the girl the crack.
Oh yeah.
You know. Yeah. Gotta get this money.
It's a quick buck for a lot of people. Morals go out the door when you're talking about certain things.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. Like it's one of the harsh realities. As we get older, we see certain things, and you know, certain people encounter it wherever they encounter that. But it's a part of life.
Like, look at what's going on now in the world. Mm-hmm. You got dudes knocking out old ladies, old men. Mm. Like, really? What thrill you getting behind that? Like, go step to somebody your age, your size.
They not fighting nobody no more. They shooting.
Nah. I'm glad mama brought that up though, because I wanted to ask her, like, you know, you talked about, you know, the parties and the get-togethers back in the day. From the stories I heard from my elders, you know, toughest person in your crew fight the toughest person in another crew, and you settled it that way. When you knew the game changed, like when did the weapons get involved, and now people not fighting no more, now they just shooting it out or stabbing it out? When did that change?
No, really, I don't even know. It's like everything just happened.
You wasn't outside no more.
It just evolved.
Well, what did you tell me about? So when did you figure out? You said there's a difference between guys from Brooklyn and guys from the Bronx. And you said guys from the Bronx will fight you first, and guys from Brooklyn will shoot you.
Yeah.
So when was it that you realized that that was the case?
I had to be about in my 20s.
What happened that you realized that was the case?
Cause growing up in the Bronx, people would say they're gonna shoot you, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that, and it was all talk. Mm. They didn't come back. You know, you fought right then and there, and they would talk the talk, but they didn't walk the walk. In Brooklyn, when I got out there in Brooklyn, if somebody said they was gonna shoot you,
they was gonna shoot you.
You could bank on that.
And they always, why Brooklyn always got a problem with the Bronx?
Because everybody want to be the top dog.
They like cousins. I feel like the Brooklyn and the Bronx are like those cousins that beef when they in town, but when they out of town, we like, listen, I got you. They got to be, because like,
stick together outside.
I feel like we're the parallels of each other. Brooklyn and the Bronx are the parallels, but it's just different.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It is. And you know what? It just reminds me of a story. My oldest son had a friend, and he got into some trouble out here, and so his family moved him out to Brooklyn. And I said to him, I said, one thing I'm going to tell you, don't go to Brooklyn running your mouth. Sure enough, he goes to Brooklyn running his mouth. A 13-year-old kid shot him in the foot. Mm-hmm. I said, you don't listen. They took you out of the Bronx to get you out of harm's way, and you still doing the same thing. I lost contact now, so I don't know whatever happened to him after that. I hope he stopped running his mouth.
Do you remember when the D-Seps was running through Brooklyn?
Yeah, but I wasn't into all of that. I was...
No, you're just getting a little older at that point now.
Tiring
from gangbanging and all that stuff.
So you was around our age when we like, listen, we ain't outside with, you know, with them young thotties no more.
Yeah.
Anthony's still outside.
I'm inside the house. Thank you very much. I stay inside.
I heard you checking out East Lot the other day. Yo, East Lot be looking lit, by the way.
You got the IG?
Nah, I don't. They got IG?
Yeah, you, listen, yeah.
Your favorite. That's how you know. And that's how you know. And still outside. He's up. You got the IG. He's still out there.
That's how you gotta check to see what's going on.
He like, ooh, them hookah trays look good. They got flavors too. Ooh, they got a Corona bucket.
So, all right. So, now, at what point did you change and start getting into the streets? Like, more than, you know, more than...
She looked at him like, boy, what you talking about?
Past the fighting, when you, you know, when you start, when you was out there, when you was philandering...
You was Iceberg Slim.
When you was being Iceberg Slim, at what point did that start?
You was Petey Wheatstraw. You came back and smacked the doctor that smacked you.
What you want to know? When I was selling drugs?
Oh.
We all sold drugs. I mean, I
well,
did.
You can start from there, and then
I know
you,
I did.
When you went, to,
now, when you went to I wasn't the, doing nothing too so, crazy, but to, yeah.
Yeah, when you went to drugs and women,
and woman,
and yeah, and you were selling drugs and women. At what point did that take place?
And I needed money.
You need some more champagne?
Hold on. Just to be clear, though, because you know this ain't the get indicted podcast.
All right, man.
All this was just to be clear, Mama. This was all over 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, we passed the statute of limitations on everything. We good.
Nah, I just want to make sure this. We don't want to give the wrong impressions. This is not the get indicted podcast
at all.
Get nobody get jammed up.
Nope.
No, this is all past probably and. Shoot, I don't even know if a lot of them people might even be dead at this point.
Damn. A lot of them are.
And now, because we're talking about a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
Over 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, I was 17.
Don't say no names, then, because I'm not going to say no names.
I'm just taking the age. So it's probably been maybe from, like, let's say when I was, like, younger. So yeah, so when I was we way past statute of limitations. All right, so go ahead, continue.
You was in elementary school.
Yeah, go ahead. Continue. So go ahead. Talk about.
When
you were flipping packages, when did you start and how did you get into it?
I was on unemployment and I needed money and it was good money.
Yeah.
Which one? You talking about drugs or women? Or both? You saying? Okay. Women came after drugs.
You had to buy like a pound or something.
Okay, so talk to us about that. About the
bust it down.
The drugs and then lead into the women.
Well, of course, selling drugs came first and run into all types of people.
That lifestyle.
Not just the lifestyle. Mm. Well, if you want to say the drug usage lifestyle.
Oh.
But you ran into all types of people. I sold to lawyers, nurses.
They were smoking weed. They was messing with that.
They was smoking crack.
Oh, I was about to say, okay.
The lawyers were smoking crack?
Yes. Yes. A lot of professional people. Butchers. then you had what they call crack users or crackheads. You know, it didn't discriminate. Everybody bought the drug.
Yeah.
And in the course of that, there were some women who were on 3rd and 4th Avenue soliciting themselves.
In Brooklyn, you're talking about now.
In Brooklyn. And I don't remember how I met them, but met them. And they needed a place to stay. You know, they needed to change their clothes, put on some clean clothes. And we became friends. And I helped them out. And in turn, they helped me out. And I had the hookup already with the customers that were buying the crack. Because the professional crack users wanted a woman to get high with. Mm-hmm. And I would set it up, and I would get paid. And it was sweet because on both ends, I made money. They wasn't getting beat. And everything, we split 50-50. So it was all good. So that's how that went down.
Now you had one that you said you had to let go because she kept taking shorts. said she was doing stuff for like 50 Cent or something like that.
Damn.
Oh,
you had to
yeah.
Let, you had to cut her loose because she was messing up the game.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, God bless the dead. And not to mention any names, but she was cool people, but she would go out there on desperate mode. And she would do somebody for 50 Cent. Like, what are you doing?
And you already had a set fee that they had to work out, but then she'd give them the discount and then they'd come back to you with the shorts.
Yeah, yeah. So I had to cut her loose.
My ruffling in the background. We are in real time. This is shooting motherfucking shit. Food has arrived. You know, you got to make sure you feed mom.
Yeah, we can set it up while we record.
It was about to get cut if he ain't feed his mom. So, you know, we just had to make sure. I always got a reference that
we had to bribe her with checkers right? To get her to open up and talk.
Oh, yeah, that. Right? We check out the Uber Eats.
Yeah, we gotta ask
mom since we talking about it though. You was deep in the game. You ever had to lay your pimp hand down on somebody though?
With the women, no. No, it wasn't that kind of party because I didn't like abusing women, although indirectly I was
okay.
By setting up but the...
Mentally you was abusing them.
No, well, physically. Actually I looked at it as I offered them a place to stay. I gave them the hookup. They didn't have to walk the streets.
You gave them opportunities.
And everybody made money. And they wasn't getting beat. They wasn't getting robbed by no pimp. No. So.
Did it ever? Did so nobody, no girl that you had ever got hit by anybody, any customer, anything like that?
No.
Now, is that because they were, because of you? Or just that it didn't happen? Like, just because of the level of respect they had for you? Or it just didn't happen?
I'd like to think it was because of the level of respect, because everything went on in my house.
So oh, okay. So
nobody wasn't coming in my house and do nothing to anybody.
So you had somewhat of a brothel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun times. How did that even come about? You just said you stumbled upon it. This is early entrepreneurship, by the way.
If you want to call it that.
Is it not? Yes. Is it not?
Yes, Sean.
I mean, it is. Nah, it is because, like you said, if you brought it inside where the women felt safe,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how is that much different than the Bunny Ranch out in Vegas?
It's a brick and mortar. It sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was brick and mortar.
But
even in the hood, like I said, you had the foresight to realize, like, yo, instead of having these girls outside, I give them a place of safety. It's all right here. It's inside. You ain't got to worry about being outside and somebody running down on you and physically attacking you or robbing you or nothing like that. You should feel safe.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, and the men knew what was going on and they would come knock on the door.
Like, all jokes aside, that's really like a good business model though. Because you already know what other people are offering. Yeah. And if I offer you a better situation, like, you're laughing, but I'm dead serious. Like, and that's all it is when you're talking about business.
Well, you know, truth be told, there was an old woman who she wound up, one of her tricks became her man. And he took her out of.
Oh, hold on. The men they did tricks too?
Hold on,
you hear me talking?
Turn the whole into a housewife?
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. You know,
no,
you know how we
serious.
Joke with dudes being in a strip club talking about you ain't really got to do this. I thought that was just a joke.
No, that was real talk.
Okay.
He took her off, you know, away from me, off out of the game.
Now, did he have to compensate you for that?
No.
I feel like you should have got compensation for that.
What you should have got?
He took one out your stable.
Nah.
Did she give you a 2-week notice? I ain't gonna be here much longer. He gonna wipe me up.
Listen, I'm gonna get this many more dinglings and I'm done. my man said I don't gotta do this no more.
this box got about 2 more weeks left in it.
How long did they last? Did you see them after that?
Oh yeah. He lived right next door in the next I lived in an apartment building. He lived in a private house.
Okay.
That his parents owned. So.
Oh, he really liked her.
Yeah, he moved.
But you know what
in.
Though? It be like that. Like if somebody you fuck with, no matter what.
And she was old. She was tired.
Oh.
She was tired of the life.
That was the episode of Family Guy too, by the way.
He was the older guy too.
Actually, he was younger than her.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a little younger than her.
He liked her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it worked out.
Love, all right.
They was together and then for a while after that.
Till I left Brooklyn that I know of.
And he wasn't Jake Shuttlesworth.
What?
Mama, I gotta ask you if they would have went on, like you said, they were together until you left Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Had they got married and invited you to the wedding, you would have pulled up?
Of course.
Okay.
No, you know, no hard feelings. It is what it is. Everybody deserves to change and move up.
What do you get as a wedding gift for like one of your old hoes? Like, what do you get them for wedding gift if you go to the wedding?
He gonna have a good wedding night though.
A pack of condoms. But she was too old to be having babies.
Nah, you want all that action.
Yeah, he might have wanted a baby. You never know. Wow. How old was she at the time?
She was old.
Like in the 50s, 60s?
No. 15. She was in her 40s at the time.
And he was what, in his 30s or something?
Mm-hmm. Still wanted to make
she was,
bang,
she was
bang,
too
bang.
Old for that nonsense. She was too old for that nonsense.
She was too old to be having any babies.
Okay. Dang, yo.
He knew what it was.
How do you think women even end up in like doing stuff like that?
Relationships. Abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
No parents, no guidance.
Now, do you think it's different now with women that like working in strip clubs and do that kind of stuff now, as opposed to then? Because like now it's a popular thing to do, to work in a strip club. Now, you know, Cardi and all these famous strippers then made it popular to work in a strip club. So,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to before when it was just like, all right, this is a need. I kind of have to do this. Now it's like, oh, no, I want to do this. I see these girls getting a lot of money. They buying cars, clothes, they taking trips.
Listen, even OnlyFans, because we're not even talking about strip clubs being open.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
OnlyFans and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's like the thing to do.
We joke, but it's a real thing.
And the money is good.
Do you... All right, so... At what point did you say, I need to stop doing this?
When I got propositioned.
What's that mean?
From a
client.
Oh, like he wanted you?
Yeah.
Oh, but he wanted to like take you away?
No. What happened is... Business was slow, and he was a good customer. He would come and spend $5,000 over the weekend.
Ooh, he's
shut
a freaky
the house
boy.
Down. Yeah, he would shut the house down.
Hey, you baby. Hey, you baby over there. Come suck my toes.
So, Italian butcher. He had money. And he came through. And just so happened, I had let my two main girls go out. I was like, you know what? It's slow. Nothing happening. Y'all could go do.
It's like McDonald's. You gotta keep the best people and let everybody else go home.
Nah, you give everybody a break. You know.
Okay.
So
okay.
I let them go, and no sooner as after they left, about half an hour, here he come. I'm like, oh man. And I couldn't find nobody because everybody was gone. I said, go do you. And he said, well, ain't this your house? I said, yeah. He said, ain't this your stable? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm the customer. I said, okay. And he said, well, you're supposed to please the customer. And if you ain't got no girls in your stable... You gotta serve me. I said, what?
And he's from where?
Hold that thought.
Yeah. Shauna, hey girl.
You know, and not my type at all.
Okay.
I was like, hold that thought. And I had to call my homie. And I was like, listen, a find me somebody, anybody, I don't care who. Bring them over quick, fast, yesterday.
That was definitely, he had a thing. He liked that. He probably had like a wife and kids and all that.
No.
No? Okay.
No wife, no kids. He lived with his mother.
Okay.
He was an old Caucasian Italian man.
Okay.
Who liked to get high and liked to turn tricks.
Okay.
And do freaky stuff.
They probably,
and spend that
they paper. Probably was tying him up and spanking him and all that crazy stuff.
Well,
Anthony said he liked to do that too.
That's too much for my version ears.
I'm joking.
My ears are reborn versions.
You gotta throw catch them off real quick, catch them both off. He's like, what? Oh man, that's different. That's definitely different. Definitely different. I don't know if I ever have heard of a woman's, you know, place in that world or even doing those type of things or whatever. Like, I know you as Mom Dukes. You be chilling. I know we get lit, but, you know, everybody got a story.
Everybody got a past.
Yeah.
So that was like that was the last day? He was like, no.
That was the last day.
I can't do this shit no more.
Actually, that wasn't the last day. Well, with the soliciting of women, that kind of died down. The selling of the drugs kept going.
Yeah.
You know.
The rugs.
And the last day of selling drugs for me was when my runner went outside to go get some stuff. Mm-hmm. And the detectives was outside my door on the stairs. And they told my runner, we know what you're doing. It's just a matter of time before we get you.
Yeah, they building up. Yeah.
I said, oh.
Say time to go.
Time to shut it down.
That's it.
You know, and that was the beginning to the end. Shut it down.
And that's a lucky thing you did that, because a lot of people are, you know, from that generation that were just probably coming home. You know, what, the 2010s, the around that time or whatever. And you know, we was just talking like last episode, we were saying about, you know, just seeing people that come home from jail and just seeing how they, you know, react to reality and stuff like that. So to have dodged that is definitely a blessing in itself.
Oh yeah.
You know, to be able to even have these stories is doping itself also, because everybody doesn't have these sort of stories. A lot of people are squares.
Well, you know,
a lot of people ain't lived that life or take them type of risk.
Yeah,
that's true. And it's only by the grace of God. I never did a bid. I never touched handcuffs on my wrist.
Okay.
That was all God. That was all God.
Once you decided to give up the game, right? And you talked about early, you know, having children and still kind of being in the mix. Like, how open were you with your kids at a young age about staying away from the streets, watch out for these type of people? Because you lived a very eventful life, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people would have tried to protect their kids from it, but obviously Anthony know a lot about it. So what was them conversations like?
No, this was still going on while we was, you know, while we was around. This was just that stopping happened after we was already born.
As you're growing up, like, because you have a younger sister, right?
Yeah, but they, because, two younger so sisters. they're like 8 years younger than me.
10 years.
So no, Crystal's 8 years. Anna's is 11 years younger than me. So
he said, "Oh, I know." Oh, she stopped. Like, all right, you got it.
So that's
you
what
better
I'm
know
saying,
your sisters.
For you and your brother, like, obviously you have an idea of what's going on, but your sisters that are much younger.
No, because they were babies
that's
at the
really
time.
Going on.
When it stopped, they were like babies.
So, right, so that's my point. Like, what was the, like, was your mom open with them about, like, hey, look, this is the life I lived, so be mindful of what's going on out here in the streets? Was it different?
That's what I'm saying. They were too young to have those conversations at that point. And then by the time they were old enough to have those conversations, it was like way, everything was already turned around and on the upside.
But gotcha. I still let them know about the streets. And, informed them. I let them know about my past because I don't have no secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did what I did. I'm not proud of it, but that was the life I was living at that time. You know, I made a 360-degree turnaround with my life, and I give back to society now because I've worked in substance abuse for about 15 years, and I've been in the mental health field now going on 12 years. And
it's like a passion. It's like a passion project in a sense, but it's like you dedicating your life to it.
To help other people come up out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there have been some success stories. Some that I don't even remember. And I've had people stop me in the street and be like, "Miss J, you don't remember me? You saved my life." And I'm like,
you probably was like, "I was ready to cuss you out a few months ago because you was getting on my damn nerves. I'm from the old school." And I'm like,
I didn't remember them.
Okay.
Because you see so many people, you know, and it's a revolving door with drug abuse. And I just had to tell the person that stopped me, you know, all I did was give you the information.
Mm.
Did all the work.
Yeah.
Did that.
But it's always cool because when you're doing these things and you're moving around in these spaces, you just never know who you're affecting. And like you said, like you didn't really remember that person, but that's how it is in a lot of situations, right? Like, you know, the people that kind of like have all these memories of us in these spaces, we don't remember, but that's how you just want to be as a person, period. You just want to be impactful wherever you go.
Can you since technically he never actually became your client, can you talk about your almost celebrity client from your back in your day?
Which one is that?
That came in. All right, I'll say this. I don't want to give it all away just in case you can't talk about it. But he whiz a clock.
Oh. What about him?
Talk about when he came in and you know, you tried to save him and it didn't happen. He got the big clock. He wears
I know
big
who
clock.
You're talking about.
When he came in, then he went into when he went in and he was trying to, you know, he needed to go into the program. You don't remember when he came into the program?
That's a story I don't remember. I really don't remember. I know who you're talking about, but
Anthony about to get a whooping when we go. He over here starting stuff. He listening to the grown folks'
conversation. Conversation once this ends right now.
That's some stuff he might have made up.
I told you to come out here and play that song that you got and go back to the room. I'm letting you stay up late. Talk about my child.
Anthony, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
All right, you know what? All right, so talk to us about, you know, you spoke about, you know, you had to take the kids everywhere with you. So you remember we used to go to these, like, little parties, and you would bring us with you to the parties. Mm-hmm. And it'd be, like, all like, the gambling spots and stuff like that.
Oh.
And you had to take us with you.
There was no gambling spot.
He was in after hours spot.
Drinking and playing cards.
Y'all was in the after hours spot.
What was the spots? When we used to take us to the spots.
Ray's Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
My memory fails me because I don't know what you're talking about. That's some made up stuff. Okay.
We need to get my brother on the line so he can confirm this story.
These are the lies they told. Anthony really talked about anything of my past.
Mm-hmm.
Now his brother, he knew everything. Of course, he was the oldest, so he knew. My thing was, y'all gonna go to school and get an education.
Yeah.
Get rich so I could sit back in a rocking chair in the West Wing somewhere.
All right.
You know.
Uh-huh.
But that's, you know.
I want a piano in my house.
Can you play?
It's real random. I don't know why I said that.
Sean is just random.
I can't. I just want one because it sounds cool to me.
It looks sophisticated.
Yeah,
just
man.
The piano there.
You know, it's over there by the piano.
That's the only reason why he wants a piano, just so he can say it's over there by the piano. It don't even have to be near the piano. He's going to say it's over there by the piano.
That's going to be in that room that you can't go in there and touch nothing.
Oh, we had one of those rooms. Remember, Anthony?
On the living room with the plastic on the
we didn't have plastic on the couch, boy.
Oh, maybe that was grandma's house. We had plastic.
Yeah, that was my mother's house. We had glass tables.
We did.
And I have one left. Yeah. I wonder why.
What you was doing? You was playing wrestling off the tables?
Yeah, and she directed that comment to you. I wonder why.
I
You was breaking some shit.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, him and his sister had a fight. Oh.
Hold on. So you remember going to the gambling spot, but you don't remember what happened on the tables.
Nah, I don't remember that.
That boy gave Crystal a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
And you tried to take the cell phone from her.
I don't remember that.
He's y'all was up brother. There fighting and broke a glass table. Like,
nah, I don't remember that happening.
Yo, look at that. I don't remember that.
I don't remember none of that. I don't remember none of that happening.
Remember Mary J? The Mary J. Blige concert?
Oh, yeah, the video.
Yeah, that was a video.
He told us that story.
They know about that. Yeah, they know about that.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? You got to tell us the side of your story, though. You got to tell us your side of the story.
We got to hear your side of the story.
So, Granny lived on that block on Cumberland Street where they had the video.
For, what is it? What's the 411?
Yeah, I think
for
it was
Mary J.
Blige. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think it was what's the 411.
And they wanted to go, and I said no, because everybody from Fort Greene and from Lafayette Gardens and the other complex over there, I forgot the name of it, but
Clinton Hills.
Atlantic Terminal.
Atlantic Terminals, right, would be there, and it was going to be drama, because each one of those sections had beef, you know, and I was like, no. 9 o'clock, that was their curfew to be in.
And nothing happened on that night.
You don't see nobody.
It was a safe night.
No. I went out looking for them, rollers in my hair, the big dookie rollers.
You about to get whooping that night.
And didn't find them. So I saw one of their friends, and I said, when you see them,
that's it.
Tell them their mother said, come home.
And I've been there.
I had this thing called assume the position. And Anthony, of course, had to go to the bathroom.
In 2021, that's called child abuse. So, I can tell you that.
I paid my dues. So Anthony goes in the bathroom. I done beat his brother. He just stalling in the bathroom.
You have to do the bathroom, too. The bathroom in the kitchen. You got to know the rooms to play.
He comes out. I hit him one time. It was a thump. I said, what the?
He fell out.
Anthony had a book in his behind and took my whole yard, all my Scott toilet tissue. I said, boy, do you know how much Scott toilet tissue costs? He had the whole roll balled up on top of the book. I laughed so hard.
He did tell us that way. He did tell us that way.
I laughed so hard I couldn't even beat him. I said, you better put every piece of tissue back on the roll.
Back on the roll.
Yeah.
You got one over. Your brother was mad that night. Your brother was like, yo.
I couldn't even beat him, though. I couldn't beat him. So for the rest of, for ever since then, he says Mary J. Blige is the only woman he'll take a beat down for.
What's the 411?
That's the 411.
And then I think, and then after that, like, as my brother got older, I stopped getting beaten, because anytime I would do something, he would do something that would be like 1,000 times worse than I would do.
That's the truth.
So they would just forget about me and then beat him.
Yeah. Sounds good. That's the truth. You know, but truth be told, Anthony was a good kid.
Oh, man.
You know, he had that incident and two other incidents. And one was he got in trouble in school, acting up for like 2 weeks. And the teacher called me a month later.
They always did that.
I'm like, they just line us up. Now he was acting up when?
I was good now. You gotta let it go.
And then he did a piggyback. Y'all know what piggyback is?
He jumped on somebody's back?
No. When you try to on a turnstile.
When you go through and somebody pushed through behind you.
Oh yeah. You should do that with women. Yeah. I mean, that's usually how to do. That's who I've done that with.
You never hung out with your friends and y'all going
at that point. I was down south, so I moved back when I was an adult.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
yeah. His friend piggybacked behind him, and because he was the oldest and he had the train pass, he got the ticket, but never told me he got the ticket.
Ooh.
So months later, when I get the ticket, it was like $90. Well, I'm gonna whip $90.
He got a $90 ass whooping.
You know, it wasn't my fault though, because I didn't know he was gonna do that. And then he pushed me. He, like, so what happened was, He was like, yeah, I'm going to swipe you because I was going to pick up. I was picking up my neighbor's son. That was like my little after school job. So I was going to pick up her son. So he's like, nah, I got you. Don't worry about it. So he swipes me and I go through. But as I'm going through, he pushes right through behind me. And then at Hunt's Point, Eric, I don't know if you probably know, but there's always the undercover cops at the Hunt's Point. Or they be in the uniform, but they'll be behind the doors.
So that's one of the main hubs, yeah.
Yeah, so I keep going down the stairs because now I'm like, damn, he just threw a wrench in the whole game, so I can't stop. So I start jetting. I run down the stairs. The train is already there. So I run down the stairs, and I get on the train. He's not even behind me no more. They already caught him. But I don't know how, because he was skinnier than me. He was way skinnier than me. But I made it all the way. I was literally about to go into the next car. I was opening the door. And it was like, nah, get off the train. I was like, damn. Because I was going to leave his ass. I didn't care at the time.
You thought you was free, too.
I was leaving him. If he didn't make it, he didn't make it. That was on him, because I didn't tell him to do that.
Yo, what happened the other day?
Yeah. I was leaving him. I swear to you, I was leaving him. But I did not tell him to do that foolishness. And then I was this close from getting away. And it was like, nah, come on, get the train.
Man.
I was tight, though, because I was like, damn, son, why would you do that, son?
They don't got no behavior, man.
It is what it is. It happened.
So he turned out, in spite of all my madness and my lifestyle, he turned out pretty good. Made me proud. You know, got his bachelor's degree, his master's degree.
Got your degree.
All right, now you can do your rap now.
Anthony.
You ready? You got your rap ready? You going to close out the show with your rap?
Okay.
I'm going to rap.
Go ahead and brush your shoulders off.
I said, little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow and the cow's in the corn. Where's the little boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack with little Bo Peep. Now little Bo Peep, all dressed in white. She was the girl who was out of sight, so she came to us to get on the mic. She tried and tried, and now she's home, and she's very ill. So we call upon our friends Jack and Jill. Now Jack and Jill weren't bro and sis. They just were the ones who loved to kiss. Take it over. Somebody's supposed to take it over.
Hey. Oh, Eric, that was on you, bro. You supposed to take it over.
Oh, hey. I know. I thought she was asking you. You ain't my fault.
Hey, take it over. We just going to make noises.
Eric, you from the Bronx, too. You supposed to jump right in on that one.
That's how that go.
Okay. You watch Battle Rap? Okay. That's interesting. Why you watch Battle Rap?
Because I like rap.
Okay.
Born and bred.
You're right. A true connoisseur of the culture, man. Come on.
Now I'm Shane.
It is what it is.
All right. This is Mother's Day, and it's also my birthday. Uh-huh. When we air this.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, because your birthday is on Mother's Day. So this episode will drop on your birthday. So we got to show Sean Fontaine some love. You're going to be out of the country.
Yeah, man.
But when you get back, we're going to still celebrate like we celebrate.
You got Eric coming up, too, after that week following. And you got to wait till the fall, you know. It's about us right now in the spring.
That's when my birthday is in the summertime.
Right? Well,
he ends off the summer.
All right.
So hopefully I'll be on a yacht somewhere.
In the yacht?
For my birthday.
Okay.
But well, we're gonna
listen to Mary J. Blige.
You are everything. And everything is you.
Hold on, that's how we're gonna end the show off right there. We're gonna end the show off
with gonna end it with that. We gotta thank moms for sharing them stories.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Fact. Appreciate you. Happy Mother's Day to you and to all of the mothers across the world. Wouldn't be here without you. So we love you, and we hope all you ladies enjoy your day. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know you got some children out there that did something special for you on this day. Sean Fontaine, enjoy your birthday as well, my brother.
Sure.
And with that being said, we're gonna rock out with my boo, Mary J. Blige, Mr. 411.
Hey, yo, Pop, yo, check out that situation right there, yo.
Yeah, what's the motions, man?
Yo, honey, right there, yo.
Yo, the fine Amazon, man.
Yeah, yeah, she got it going on and on, like, you know what I'm saying? But she be trying to act like all of that, though, yo.
So show us boss, man, what's up?
Yo, big kid style.
No question, big kids in full effect, man.
Yo, I'ma kick the Willie Bow one, check it, yo.
No question.
Hey, yo, what's the 411, hon?
What's the 411, hon?
I got it going on, hey,
yo, hon. I got it going on, hon.
What's the 411, hon?
What's the 411, hon?
I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Well, I be pooping on this chair, the nigga from last year. Jabot's hanging back, he Tommy Hilfiger top gear. Take no shorts, I'm doing lovely in all sports. Even swing the pole at the hole on my golf course.